The Veteran Gamers Podcast is not for children, okay? So if you're listening and you're under the age of 18, turn the f***ing show off, you piece of shit.
Stand by for pre-show banter.
Yeah. What's in the box?
I'm making my dinner.
Hi, Millie. Go, you make that dinner, girl.
I saw you with the box. What was in the box? What's in the box?
Yeah. No offense, guys.
Swear to God, kids.
Ugh.
Bloody kids, Duke.
You don't have to tell me. I deal with the teenage versions all day, every day.
Where's your hat?
It's upstairs. I don't have to wear a hat. What's usual isn't what's mandatory.
Well, I was waiting for the bloody fam to get out of here. We're live, people.
I know you're ready, Stu.
I'm ready. I'm fucking always ready.
Let's start the motherfucking show, bitch.
Here we go, people. Let's do this.
Welcome y'all to the Veteran Gamers. Juju, Jimmy, all the fellas will tell you about every single game.
We're not giving you money.
News, reviews, and an indie pick. Stu story time and Jimmy's game breakers. Here comes Duke with the soundbite saviors.
This is the thing you point at whenever you want to die. Gamers.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
That's suspicious.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
That was a sound effect that totally threw me out.
It was a farcical sound effect.
Switch that console off before you have to press repeat, yo.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hello and welcome to episode 741 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Yeah, 741. What's up, people? Duke in the house.
Stu is here.
Ginny is present.
All right. We are not military veterans, people. We're veterans of the gaming lifestyle.
We stream live on Twitch and YouTube for some reason.
Yeah, watch us live. You're only getting a little bit of the experience if you're not watching us live.
We have multiple camera angles.
Yeah, we do.
It's quite the setup.
It is.
I can go on Duke Cam.
I'm going to do the show like this.
Duke Cam is just Duke on the screen, full screen.
Yeah, it's
Duke
great.
Cam,
what would? Why would you not want to see this? It's great. You can see my chin. You can see my throat.
It's Duke Cam. Okay, yeah. That's enough of that bullshit.
All right, yeah. Somebody got a story to tell?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so we're starting right in with what we've been playing. How's your week been?
It's been all right, actually. I've been quiet it's been.
That's a good week.
Quiet week. Not done a lot. Chilled out a lot.
That's good.
That's my week.
Chilling out is good.
Chilling.
Jenny, anything exciting in your week?
Well, I'm eating this cake.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
So actually, something exciting did happen. I forgot
about
it.
Can we just do an episode where we don't have a story time?
Well, it's not really a story, but I saw a dead badger at the side of the motorway.
That's exciting.
It was pretty dead. It's pretty dead, man. Mm-hmm. It was big, though. The big badgers are big.
Yes.
Badgers are big.
They
badgers
are the
massive.
Bigger than you think.
And there's a lot of them on the side of the road sometimes. You're just driving along. You're like, badger, 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 badger.
Badger. You know, though, as I was coming up to it, I was like, what the hell is that? Because of like, is there a dead body on the side, on the hard shoulder?
It's a dead badger body.
And it was a dead badger body.
Was it like a bloated badger body?
No, not that I noticed.
Was there any blood around? Was it a bloody, bloated badger body?
Well, yeah, well, it was bloody because it had been hit by a car, presumably. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, bigger than you think of badgers. There you go. It's not much of a story, but it's best I've got.
It's got to be the weakest intro we've had to the show.
It is. I think it is. I think it's terrible.
Let's move on.
Where are you going? Story time's over, isn't it?
What you been playing?
I'll say that we're starting Grendel in our AP English class, and I'm very excited because that's a great book. If anybody out there has ever read the book Grendel, holler at your boy because I'm very excited about starting
What the hell is Grendel?
So
what
you know
it?
Beowulf?
Nope.
Well, Beowulf. Okay, good. Chinny knows Beowulf. He's not a total Philistine. Beowulf is the prototypical Anglo-Saxon legend of the hero conquering the monster. And Grendel is the story. It's a novel by John Gardner, 1971, telling the story from the monster's point of view. And it's a beautiful existentialist novel with all sorts of symbolism.
Like, Oh, why did you slay me? I wasn't being horrible to you.
No.
Is it like that?
No.
No?
No.
Was it,
I'm not a monster.
Day 48 of chilling in my cave. This kind absolute of. prick with a sword comes in.
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Doing nothing. Nothing.
He is sitting in his cave a lot, so you know.
I'm just minding my own business, chewing on a bone, and then some dickhead comes in with a sword. What the hell?
Figure out what he is, who we are, what is the meaning of life, all that stuff.
Look, The Witcher, but from the monster's point of view.
Yeah, it is.
No, The Witcher doesn't have a lot of deep themes about meaning of life. It's just kill monsters.
I don't know.
Maybe I played a different version of The Witcher than you had.
You didn't play the bit where you put a baby in the oven.
Yeah, you didn't.
I don't know if that has anything to do with ontology, really, but...
Well, I don't want to explain it to you if you don't know.
Have you ever put a baby in the oven?
I haven't, but I don't see the connection. But maybe I'm just being dense. I don't know. Anyway, so that's my week. I used up all my energy on Friday getting started on Grendel, and then we're actually going to start reading it, because I had this whole slideshow before we get to Grendel talking about what is existentialism, what is epistemology, what is metaphysics, so we can dive in when it's time to read.
Oh, but those kids are fucking...
You know what? They're actually excited. One of them was like, I'm really excited about this.
I can't wait to learn about existentialism.
Maybe if I had a teacher like you do, I'd care about reading.
See? Exactly. But we don't need it. You see, this is the thing, man. Tell me something that's real.
What do you mean, tell you something that's real? The sun rotates.
How do you know the sun rotates around the Earth?
Because
the Earth rotates around the sun, if you didn't know better.
How do you know the Earth rotates around the sun?
Because I see it.
Because physics.
Physics? You trust physicians.
Yeah, physics.
Physicists. Yeah.
I trust what's the observable space.
Yeah, have you observed it yourself?
Yeah.
Really?
I look up in the sky every day.
I've looked
up in the sky back in ancient Greece. They thought the sun went around us. They thought the sun was born and died every day. It's more than that, isn't it? All epistemology rests on some belief. So, whatever. We get
you gotta believe, man.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, believe. You gotta do what? I gotta believe.
Although I don't believe that the US astronauts landed on the moon for reals. I think it was...
Fuck off.
You are joking.
Dump is silly.
Oh, Hollywood. Come on, dude. Yeah, I love how we get right to this. Usually, it happened in class. I was like, what's something you believe is true? They're like, my consciousness. I'm like, God damn, I thought you were going to start with like the table in front of you. Nope, my consciousness is real. Like, wow, okay. The US faked the moon landing, huh?
Yeah, they did.
You don't really believe that, sir.
Totally believe it.
No, you don't.
Totally fake. Totally fake, man.
Why on earth would we go through all that expense?
You're just baiting.
Just because he wanted to beat the Russians. And that's why. He wanted to beat the Russians, man. And he couldn't really beat the Russians. So
I'll tell you the best proof. I'll tell you the best proof.
Fake it till you make it.
I'll tell you the best proof that we landed on the moon is that the Russians stopped trying because they knew.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's just because...
No, but we were just so convincing with our fakeries.
Exactly. No, they accepted that it had already been done. What a point.
If they'd have looked at their... If they thought it would have been fake, they would have carried on and gone, no, this is fake. No.
But they were like, Matthew Moore, this is actually live. Aren't you sorry you tuned in live?
No,
yeah, he is. Yeah.
Sorry, Matthew.
Okay, so video games. That's why we're here and we're ready to talk about them.
That's, by the way, that's Matthew from the Midlife Gamer podcast.
Hi, Matthew from the Midlife Gamer podcast.
Matt.
Glad you're here.
Long time no see, man. When's there another party for Eurogamer, EGX, or whatever the hell it's called these days? That's what we wanted, didn't you? We were only talking about this last week.
We were talking about it last week, yeah.
We did. Said how fun they were.
How fun. Remember when we had fun before COVID?
I know, yeah.
Now we're in Fallout 3 now.
It's probably buggered off now. He came for like 5 seconds and now he's gone.
Can you blame him?
No, I can't. To be honest, I wouldn't be hanging around either, to be fair.
This guy actually doesn't believe we landed on the moon. I'm a fucking out of here.
Yeah, was that actually live?
Dear Google Chrome, why, or maybe it's Windows, why is it so hard to find the spot where you pull the window up, where the cursor turns into the double arrow in order to pull
that
window up?
This sounds like an issue that you should deal with. Not live on the show.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with video games, is it?
Well, I was waiting for one of y'all to start talking about video games. I guess I'll
Let's
do it.
Let's talk about
God
video
damn.
Games then.
All right, then. God. Here's the thing. Jesus I've been Christ. Playing Rocket League, okay? There's this great game.
Rocket
it's
League,
fun.
Yeah.
Rust,
Rocket League.
I dove back into Rust because it's a fun game, PvE. Guild Wars 2, And here, so here's the other thing. Jason Gallagher is a lovely man. He writes into us all the time.
Lovely.
Jason. And he, for a while, was bugging me about this game, Pentiment. And I was like, and then this week I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking do it. Why not? Let's try.
Wow.
Yeah. I dove in.
I'm shocked.
I played it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you played this, Stu?
I played a little bit. I started it, and then I was just like, oh, something else in shiny has come along. So
I didn't carry on. It's made by Obsidian, which is interesting because they made Fallout in Vegas famously. And
there's a lot of reading, I believe. Lots of reading.
It takes place in medieval Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And you are a character who gets to pick, you get to pick your backstory, which is pretty interesting because they'll ask you, like, so what have you been doing for the last few years? And you have options about, you know, I was in Spain, I was in England, I was in Italy, or whatever. They have this opening credit sequence, which, first of all, that's an anachronism. Like, why do we need an opening credit sequence? That's what they do in movies.
Why?
We don't need those in video games. Why?
Well, you might. Why not?
Because I want to hurry up and play. In medias res all day, every day. If we're going to talk about Latin,
but some games want to portray themselves as a movie type story.
Well, you know what?
They?
Those games can fuck off.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a bit much, but it's also my opinion. It's my perspective. I want to just dive right into the gameplay. I don't understand why it has to be. I mean, look, if they had a very interesting opening scene and then they gave me opening credits, I'd be a lot more willing to go along with it. But to start off with like 2 minutes of and just with credits, I'm like, really? It just feels like this is the way movies start, so we're going to start that way too. Anyway, so the point of the game is to you're wandering around, and it's all 2D, and you're a scribe in a church, and your boss is mad at you that you're not scribing more quickly. But there's also this rich dude who shows up in town, and you become friends because you've studied, and so you know more than the average schmuck in a village who's jabbing at the mud with a stick. And it really is that thing of like, who's that? It's like, I think he's a king. Why? He hasn't got shit all over him. I mean, you know, feudal life pretty much sucked back in the day. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, defo. Now,
you know, let me ask I wasn't you this, there, but...
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, you know. But we know. We've studied history.
Oh, yeah. I've watched Blackadder.
Sure. What's the best part, Chinny, of every RPG?
Ooh, exploration, I'd say.
Leveling up.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say in the top 10 of things is inane chatter with the townsfolk?
Definitely. No.
Talking to them about their sheep that's gone missing and shit?
Absolutely.
I like the usual clear out the rats quest that you get.
Yeah, I don't mind clearing out rats. You don't get to clear any rats in this game. You don't even, I don't think there's any combat even.
I like a fleshed out world. To explore.
Well, this has a fleshed out world. If by world you mean little village with people sticking the mud with sticks and nuns who are like, where's my book? And you're like, well, I lent it to so and so. You need to bring that book back.
So, what does a scriber do?
Yeah, what does a scriber do?
You write stuff down, you copy books, but you're also working on your masterpiece at the same time. So, like, you want to get your work done and then, like, have time to work on your masterpiece, which is this illuminated
manuscript.
So, that
was a job just to copy books.
Oh, yeah, defo. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't always have Xerox machines.
Why didn't they just take a photo of it on the
phone?
Couldn't they think of an easier way than just copying it?
Well, it's not
easier way. There isn't an easier way.
Before the printing press,
but also,
there was no easy way.
What you've also got to
consider, Chinny, is that back in the day, these books were valuable. You know, so they used to make copies so that they wouldn't actually be using the original book.
I feel like I would have come up with the idea of a printing press. I would have been scribing all day.
Of course you would have.
I would have been scribing all day, and so he's like, "There's got to be a fucking easy way to do this shit, man."
Well,
and then
Gutenberg
invented his
around 1440. That was the first movable type printing press. Now, there had been printers in China before that, but, you know, we don't like to take advice from the Chinese. So
yes. Whatever. So yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they'd been invented fucking ages ago by the Chinese. Sorry.
Anyway, nope. The point is that's your job in this game, and it's interesting so far as it goes. They do some interesting things. So, like, when you meet the idiot in the town stabbing at the mud with a stick, his speech is, like, scrawled, like, really messy. And then you meet this rich dude, and he's like, wherefore is my book not finished yet? And it's all fancy scrawled text,
right.
Like not
the font,
like script,
the font.
Very right, yeah. Medieval, right. And then you make a connection with him, and you realize that he studied some of the same things you've studied, and so his font changes for his speech bubbles, and it becomes a little more like yours. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. I appreciate that. The fact that different characters have a different font to indicate parts of who they are, your relationship with them, and stuff like that. The other cool thing about this game is that it'll mention, you know, someone will mention, you know, whatever, like Deuteronomy or something, you know, because you're working in a church, and Deuteronomy will be in red, and then you can hit the select button on the controller and it'll bring up a glossary. So it'll like zoom out, like, it, you know, it makes the screen you're playing in a picture in a book, and then it zooms out, and below that picture, there's an explanation of what Deuteronomy is.
You see, I must admit, art style-wise and the creativeness, I kind of like about this game. I didn't play much of it, to be fair. Yeah. But I do feel like it's something I would like. I do.
It's a good-looking game.
It looks like a horrible Histories animated section.
Yeah. It looks like a Monty Python animation come to life.
I know you complained about the opening sort of movie-type thing.
Yes, I did.
But I quite like the bit where it zooms in on the first picture, and it's like the middle of a conversation, and it's just like,
fine.
And the abbot said to me,
"We could have just started the game that way instead of having to sit through 2 minutes of cutscenes first."
No, but I kind of like it. I kind of like
the fact
that it's in like an RPG set within a book. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree. There are some interesting reflections on art. You know, they're talking about how, because this is around the time Gutenberg's printing press is starting to be used to print Bibles, and you know. It's you know, people are talking about how this is a dying profession, and you know, our job is just, at one point he says, our job is just to copy the book over. And the other guy, you know, your other fellow scrivener is like, yeah, but you can always put some of yourself into the pictures and stuff. And he's like, no, I'm supposed to be representing the autumn. And he's like, yeah, but how you represent the autumn is how you reflect yourself. And you know, this book will last hundreds of years after you're gone. Like, what do you want to remain for your legacy and stuff? And that's kind of interesting. I like that. But I just, the gameplay, you know, when you start actually getting into the gameplay, it's a lot of trying to persuade people, and you don't realize that decisions you made earlier are going to affect whether you can persuade them or not. So it's showing you this like tally list of things you've done right and done wrong in order to persuade the person. And obviously, you know, that'll help you later on. I just don't know if I can be asked to keep playing.
I mean, if you was to make a game that is completely not fucking me, this would be
it. Yeah, it would. No, actually, I think I might take the record for that this week with one of the games I played. Definitely not made for you.
Pillow of Soft in the chat said, Pentiment did nothing for me. It seemed to have a higher opinion of itself than I out of it. We didn't get along.
See, I don't really mind that. I don't feel like it has a very high opinion of itself, for my opinion. But I do think that I don't know. Like, it made me want to play a game set in the same time period where you're like killing rats in basements and like taking care of wolves outside of town and stuff like that.
Doing fun stuff.
The usual RPG stuff that's actually fun, right? Yeah. So I don't know. I might keep playing. I didn't delete it, so that's a good sign. But I'm also, you know, 2 days after I started it, I haven't gone back. So,
also, Ant from Australia says hello. So, hello.
Yeah, what you need to play, Duke, is a Plague's Tale, because that's kind of that. You kill a lot of rats in that game.
Loads of rats. There's a whole tornado of rats.
It's tons of rats.
I might do. You know, no promises.
But there's no scribing in it.
No, there's no
scribing. So I appreciate the recommendation, Jason Gall. And I mean, you know, it's cute. It's what it does well. I just don't know if what it does is enough for me. So I might keep playing it. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Yeah, give it more of a chance before you make a final decision on it.
In terms of video game choices, I think me and Jason are on the opposite sides of the coin.
I think you are. Are there any games you both like?
I don't know enough of what he likes. Write in, Jason.
He wrote in about... Yeah, he never writes in.
Red Dead 2.
Yeah, about liking...
Yeah, he loves Red Dead 2.
But he's not insane. Do you know what I mean? He knows a good game.
He knows quality when he sees it.
Well, now and again.
I don't think Red Dead 2 is a fair game to use as a barometer because that's universally loved. In order to really understand what people like and don't like, you got to talk about games that not everybody loves. If I say I like Minecraft, okay, so what? Everyone likes Minecraft. But if I say I like, you know, Return to Grace and Guild Wars 2, okay, now people are going to be like, what? Ugh.
Yeah. Now you start to paint a picture of who you really are.
Exactly.
And then I think, nah.
I don't want to spend time talking to this pinhead.
Yeah.
Well, too late. You have to. Yeah.
Pentiment. So it's a no from Duke.
It's not a no.
Are you going to continue playing it?
I don't know. I'm not going to commit one way or another. I might. It depends on how
I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm going to say no.
All right, well, we'll see. But you realize that you saying that kind of nudges me toward playing it just to prove you wrong.
I think you'll forget that.
Maybe that's why.
That's not going to make any difference.
I think at the end of this call, you'll go, what did Chitty say? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, here's Rocket. Is Rocket League.
Well, I'm going to play a lot of Rocket League. That's not the question.
Yeah.
The question is if after I play Rocket League, if I will fire Pentiment up or just go back to Guild Wars 2 or something.
Well,
all right, that's it. Stu, you're up.
Yes, nice. We'll wait and see. Yes, I'm going to talk about Slay the Princess.
We talked about this last
proper
week. Weird,
fucked
horror
up game where
I finished a full playthrough of this game.
Is it a roguelike?
Not really. It's kind of more of a...
So you finished this game then?
Yeah, well, I finished one playthrough of the game.
So it is a roguelike?
Not really, because all the decisions are predetermined by what you do.
So
and
it's
the
like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's not randomized at all. It's all predetermined by what
you
actually do.
So how many options, how many endings would you say there are?
I think I actually looked it up and there are about 11 different ways the game can end to the credits. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
There are two true endings and then a lot of sort of different ones.
Okay.
I quite like my ending. I was really happy with what happened at the end of my game.
What that it ended?
Well, without giving spoilers, you know, there's
now Stu doesn't want to give spoilers.
It's a decent game. I think people should play this. It's cool. It's totally cool.
Okay.
I think it's really well done. The characters are great, and the voice acting is top notch. The different things that can happen are quite interesting, shall we say? The true ending of the game, I'll tell you, it's a little bit like, can we just say, which was the game where you can just not do it, or you just do something straight at the beginning and then the game ends.
Far Cry 4, one of the Far Cry games. Far Cry 5 and Far Cry 6, you can do that.
It's a little bit like that. So you can literally just not talk to her, go in, slay her, and that's it. And the game ends in about 15 minutes.
Slayer.
Yeah.
Well, I would do that. I'd play that game, yeah.
You just go, and then it's 15 minutes. Jobs are golden.
Jobs are done.
And it's kind of funny. And that's the true ending of the game. And you get this really cool hand-drawn picture that somebody scribbled just saying, you've got the best, you've got the good ending to the game. And that sort of it. But I think it's like a piss take because it isn't kind of a good ending, if you know what I mean, because you just kind of kill her and then you end up stranded in the cabin forever. So it's kind of great.
Does it have Wi-Fi?
No.
Okay. Is there a good library with lots of books in?
No.
Oh,
the only thing I would say, Duke, and this will make you definitely hate it.
Oh, okay.
It's a bit Stanley Parable-ish.
Ugh, Christ.
So there's a little bit of breaking the fourth wall and the narrator.
I don't mind breaking the fourth wall.
Dictating.
I mind when it's done in a tedious,
this isn't tedious.
Pretentious way.
No, this is done in kind of a cool, like the narrator will say something that you don't want to do, but you have to do it because it's been narrated.
That's
you know
pretty
what I mean?
Pretentious, so, then.
Yeah, so the narrator will say, and then you did this, and it's like,
oh,
I don't want to do
it's
that.
It's almost like you don't have any free will in video games.
Exactly, exactly. Well, no,
insight.
No, you can fight against it, though, so it's kind of cool.
I really
enjoyed this.
Video games.
Well. I really enjoyed this. I think it's really well done. I had a little bit of a look at the developer of this game to find out a bit more about them. And it's a husband and wife team, and she did graphic novels. So it's all obviously hand-drawn by her. She did a load of graphic novels and stuff and then came across this and decided to give a go to video games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on this developer because I think it's an interesting little diversion. It's completely unlike anything else I've played, to put it mildly. And, yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's thought-provoking. Thought-provoking game is the best way.
So give me an example, without telling us what happened, like give me an example of the thought that it provoked.
The thought that it provoked is, should I slay the princess?
I don't know. That really qualifies as thought-provoking.
That's inspired.
You're playing Super Mario Brothers. Like, should I go through the bonus level or just go straight?
No, I mean, on a more serious note, she, like, the whole point of the game is to question, why you are slaying her. Should you be slaying her? Why are you slaying her? Is it the right thing to do? Why is it you? Why are you the one that's got to do it? You know, and all those sorts of interesting questions when you've been asked to kill somebody without.
Is it kind of like an interrogation?
Sort of. I mean, when you actually get into the room with her, you can talk to her and then you can try.
Why would you talk to her? You're supposed to kill her.
Well, exactly. But that's what the narrator says. So the narrator's like, don't engage, just kill her. You're here to do one job, and that job is to slay the princess.
Well, see, this is the thing. I was thinking about this with Return to Grace, and I don't want to make you go into spoilers about this game, but like, it's clear that you're not supposed to actually slay the princess. So, okay, you're still being railroaded. It's clear in Return to Grace that you're not supposed to go with control. You're supposed to trust the other AI. Like, that's still a forced option.
It isn't. It is. I mean, it is. Of course, it
is
because it's
totally forced, but it's clear what you're supposed to do.
The only thing, the only thing I would say is with this game, there's a lot of choices. Right. So when you're actually in the room with her, but just in general talking, I mean, like the list of things you can ask is like a lot,
right.
And they then lead down a lot of other avenues. So it is very. I mean, it must have taken them absolutely ages to figure out. All these different dialogue trees and where they all lead to, and what outcomes then they lead to. Mm-hmm. It's a very clever and cool game. I totally recommend it. It's about £12 in the Steam sale.
And how long did it take you to get through one of the playthroughs?
About 4 hours. It was about 4 hours. Right. So there's kind of a lot of they do a really good job. There's a lot of looping, so obviously you start again at the very beginning each time you've of finished one loop, but they make it different enough that it doesn't get tedious. So it's sort of, they do a really good job of managing those loops so they don't become feeling like, oh god, I've got to do it. And you can just skip dialogue, so you don't have to read all the dialogue each time you do it. I think it's really, really good, really, really clever game.
I'm glad
totally recommend it. Yeah. I did. Okay. Slay the princess. Buy
Slay
it.
The princess.
It's cool.
Okay. Chinny, what do you got?
Chinny.
Hello.
Have you played any video games this week, Chinny?
Is that it? Video games?
Yes.
Great. Tell us about them.
Wow.
I've played Alan Wake. Alan Wake 2. The second part of the game.
Yep.
Alan Wake.
And what do you think?
Are you into Alan Wake's side of the story now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done the thing.
Oh, have you done the thing? Oh, I love the thing.
I've done the thing that everybody bangs on about.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Duke, for some context.
Okay.
Oh,
there's a
I
won't spoil it. I'm not spoiling the thing.
Don't spoil the thing.
Duke's never going to play this game, by the way.
No, I know, but we have listeners. I don't know if you know, but people listen to the show.
Wait, why would someone listen to this?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know. However, right. So in Alan Wake, everybody goes, oh my God, the game is so crazy. There's a bit in it that's so crazy. And look, what even is it, man? That's crazy. And then I played that bit and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking batshit, isn't it?
It is. But the problem is stupid.
You're waiting for it. That's the trouble.
And I'm waiting for it. Can I just say,
I didn't, when I played this game, I tried to avoid reading anything about it. So I didn't really know about the.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So for me, it was like, fucking, what is going on?
When you go from, I mean, we've played Alan Wake 1 recently.
Yeah.
When you go from such a sort of serious tone.
Oh, definitely.
To whatever the fuck this is, right? I mean, I'll say this, Duke. They make a lot of brave choices in this game. Like
fighting a tractor.
Yeah.
Oh, way braver. Oh, but I think
it does sort of pay off.
Oh, because definitely.
Because now Alan Wake 1 was very sort of like, it was serious. It was a serious game. It was taking itself serious.
Okay.
But this is just like, fuck it. Like, we're going nuts, right? And it's like, it pulls it off. It's like, well, now I'm on board because I know you're not really like, you know, it's all mad, right? So, yeah, it's interesting. And
well, this is what I was trying to say to you. You know, when I said, like, I feel like Epic Games just went, here's a blank check. Do what the fuck you like. Yeah, we really don't care. Because I'll tell you what, if there was any game development labels getting involved in this, publishers, they'd be like, I don't think they will.
Yeah, they get to that section and be like, wet.
It would never have got made, would it?
So this is what you've been filming for the last fucking...
Yeah, it just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, so no, it's crazy. It is crazy. So I've passed that part now, and I'm at the bit where you're at your hotel, I'll say.
Oh, right, okay, I know.
You're trying to solve, like, a murder.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, that section of the game, actually. That's I really enjoyed
murder.
That.
So I played a bit more. I played the bloody bit.
You played the bloody bit. I'm thinking, right, every time you spoke about it, I'm thinking you're so close to the bit.
No, I'm kind
of close to the bit. It's
so close to the bit. Yeah, yeah. But that's the problem. I'm playing it. I'm going like, this is the bit. I'm in the bit.
You're in the bit. Yeah, well, you definitely know when you're in the bit.
Yeah, I'm in the bit.
There's no doubt about
but
it.
But I still prefer Saga's sort of story. But
Saga's, I mean, to be fair, Saga's is more serious. I mean, hers is the definite serious side of the story. And Alan's is the batshit, this is fucking off the wall.
Well,
crazy.
the gist of it so far for me, and I think I know where it's going. Again, I won't be too spoilery.
Yeah.
But Alan is you're seeing where Alan Wake has been for 13 years.
Yeah.
So, and he's basically stuck in fucking limbo, isn't he? He's stuck in the dark place. So the end of Alan Wake 1, he was just stuck in the dark place and his wife got out. And he's just stuck there and he has to keep writing his way out, but he can't. And we see what he's been doing. And then Saga's story is like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But obviously... Bright Falls is a place where if you write some fiction, it comes true. So
why doesn't he just write like, and then the sun came out and there were bunnies and
lollipops
everywhere.
To be fair, it does kind of explain why that's not possible.
Yeah.
There's a demonic presence that makes only bad things happen.
Not really.
Them.
It's kind of like a monkey paw situation, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, you know, all that sort of shit. But Saga sort of, she, it's all convenient. If you pick up fucking ammo before a boss fight, it's all convenient, dude. You're talking about fucking convenience in a video game. Let's go.
Video games, Duke. Right.
All video games that are trying to take a swing with metafiction. Like, have a comprehensive rule set or don't bother.
Well, it kind of does.
It does.
It kind of has a very convenient rule set.
Anyway.
He said, having played it.
Saga, exactly. What's interesting about Saga's thing is like, Is she in the thing? What's she doing? What's going on? Was she there before? She doesn't know. So there's a lot of weird things going on.
There's
with
a
her.
Lot of weird shit, and it does pay. God. I'll tell you what, the ending
pays off.
It just pays off.
Tip top.
So good.
So yeah, I've played a little bit more of Alan Wake. Too good.
By the way, I love all the control crossover stuff as well. You know, you do come across those dudes. Well,
I only saw see the janitor guy.
No, but you did. You must have come across a bit where they're messing around in that station on the near the lake. There's like a weird monitoring station thing, and you meet a couple of guys there near the beginning of the game, don't you? And have a chat with them. But they're from the Bureau of Control or whatever.
Oh, are they from Control? Are they?
Yeah. So that's like a control monitoring station, that weird thing that's on the side of the hill.
I didn't get that. I played Control. I barely remember anything about it. I liked Control, but story-wise, I thought it was really forgettable. Like, really forgettable.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I liked the game. I liked the bit where you fly. That's nice.
I just feel like everything they've made up to this point has been building up to this moment.
It does feel like that. But I mean, it feels like it does feel like they sort of accidentally did it, but it still feels like that.
I'm so excited for the DLC, though. There's going to be an add-on, isn't
there? Oh, is
there? Yeah, is it Dark Springs, the weird TV show thing that's in it?
Night Springs.
Yeah, it's called the Night Springs DLC, and apparently it's going to be amazing.
The only problem is that I've got when I play this game is I just know that, like, this isn't going to get solved, is it? Like, none of this shit.
I can't say anything without giving spoilers.
Are you getting tickled in the rectum there?
Am I, Evan? No, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Okay.
I don't know, but that's my concern. Is like, because Alan Wake 1 was like, he's still.
I just love it. I mean, I was sad when it was over. I mean, that's how much I love this game. Is like, I just wanted to keep playing it. I just loved it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's interesting. Like, I genuinely, and this is rare, but I genuinely want to know what's going to happen next. Like, it's like rare in a video game that I care.
Oh, they built such a great narrative. It's just so clever.
It's good. It's very good.
So, long may these... I can't make heads or tails of that shit.
Yeah. Long may these types of games continue to be made, because I am worried that these types of games are few and far between these days.
Yeah, that just sounds like old man problem.
Well, it probably is. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Studios very often, but they got your Slay the Princesses and fucking weird.
Okay, all right, I'm done.
Shit out the ass. So
I'm done with Alan Wake 2. I'm done talking about that.
Right. Excellent. That's me then, I guess, maybe.
It is. Back to you, dude.
Okay. So Pentiment made me want to play a game set in medieval Europe where you actually do things. And so I went back to Medieval Dynasty, which is on Game Pass. I had played this before, and I was like, okay, curious to take another look at that. So I'm playing it again. The worst part about this game is that you have to wait for time to pass before you can advance. Like, you have to survive. One of the quests early on is to survive a season. And the seasons are 3 days long. So it's not really a big deal. But, like, in most games, you can say, like, just sleep until the end of the day or something, right? No, not in this game. You can only go to sleep when the sun's going down. So, like, I finished everything I needed to do on the last day of the season. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go to sleep and advance to the next season. No, I gotta go do other things. So I'm wandering around trying to hunt rabbits and stuff, and it's just like, let me just advance time. Skyrim.
So this is a medieval tree puncher.
It's a medieval tree puncher. Yep. There's a lot of depth because, like, there's a lot of buildings you can build, and you're supposed to, like, woo a wife, and then you can have a kid, and then that's the next. Woo. You know, it is the dynasty. The idea is that it's multiple generations. Woo. Yeah. Come in and live in my house, and then we could get married, and you can have me a kid. Right.
Well, you're running away.
Yeah. Come back. I'm a very charming guy. Again, there's, like, you know, people who have quests in the village, and I wouldn't call the story very deep. All the dialogue is text only. There's no voice acting. So that makes it smaller and easier to load. What? But
in this day and age, what the fuck?
I know, right? Even Slay the Princess has voice acting.
It does, fully voice acted, by the way.
All right, then. Well, the purpose here is not to spend time listening to people talk. The purpose is to build yourself a house.
Punch trees.
And punch trees, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, whatever. Like, it's good. It's cute. It's slow. Like, there's, you know, before you can get a bow and arrow, you got to set up like a huntsman's cabin or something. So I'm using a fucking spear to try to hunt these rabbits. And, like, you know, you get one shot to throw it. If you miss, it's off. And you're just like, fuck, I got to look around for another rabbit now. So that's kind of a pain in the ass to be doing that. But, you know, whatever. The building's fine, and it's early, so I'm not going to judge it yet. I think before when I played it and then trailed off, it was just other things coming up. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll stick more with it this time. Who knows?
Yeah. I remember, is it the long, night? You know, I think we played where, or was it?
You're out in the freezing cold.
We're out in the freezing cold. Long dark. Hunting rabbits. Oh, long dark. That was it. Hunting rabbits in that was flipping hard.
Yes.
Just remember trying to hunt rabbits and I'm just like, I need a rabbit because I'm dying. I've no food.
See,
and
that's
I'm
the
cold
thing, right?
And
in this
I'm
game,
freezing.
It's not
and
at
oh
all.
My God.
It's not urgent in this game. It's just like, I wish I, you know, I have a quest to kill 5 rabbits. So, okay. I would like to kill 5 rabbits for that. But it's not like you're going to die if you don't get a rabbit in the next 30 seconds.
Well, I started the game over because I just set myself up the first time so badly. I was dying all the time.
Yeah.
So I had to, and then I just was like, this is too difficult.
Well, I mean, there's also another reason for that.
You really suck.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. God, that game was so hard.
Yes, it is.
And I really wanted to like it because I really loved the setting and all that kind of stuff. But flip me. That game was difficult.
Me. Yeah, so that's Medieval Dynasty. Nothing much to say about it.
Medieval Dynasty. Well, I'm going to go on to you, right? Because here's the thing, right? I finished Slay the Princess, right? And then I did the good ending because that only took me 15 minutes.
Right.
And at the end, it comes up with a load of choices. And one of them is check out our other games, right? So I was like, I wonder what else they've made then because I really like this. What else did they make?
What else have they
made? And they've only made one other game and it's called Scarlet Hollow.
Okay. Right?
So I was like, and the first episode was free, so it was like free to download and play. So I was like,
that's the type of price you like, Stu.
I should play it.
Free, no charge.
And I played, and I finished that first episode, and I'm like, I am buying this game.
Whoa!
Damn. I know. This is great, can I just say. All fully hand drawn again because obviously that
looks very similar but less fucked up.
No, it's more colourful. It's more colourful.
More colourful.
And there's no voice acting. It's all purely text, so it's all written. This was obviously the first game.
What
in this day and age?
But this is very much in the vein of Life is Strange. It's completely episodic. There are 5 episodes currently available, and there's going to be 7 altogether when it's finished. So they're still making.
And the
this.
First one's free, people. So go play it.
And the first episode's free.
And it's so this good, made Stu cough up some of his hard-earned cash.
It did.
Which
it
is
did
tough.
This.
That is tough.
This
it is tough.
Again, is completely a
visual
sort
novel.
Of visual novel. There's no gameplay apart from again choosing. Dialogue options. So you just choose dialogue options.
Stu hasn't had an haircut for like 10 months. So that's how much he doesn't part with his money. So it's
exactly,
tough to,
exactly. Yeah. But what's kind of cool about this is you get to pick traits when you first start the game. Yeah. So you can pick from about 8 traits. And I picked bookworm and street
bookworm.
Smart.
Bookworm and street smart. Dude, those never
exactly.
come together.
I know, I'm mind
big head like this bookie work.
Which then gives you extra options within the game, and also
sure
like the street. Like tonight, I was reading it. I can't say playing it because you're not really playing anything; you're just reading it. I was reading it, and I didn't get caught because I was street smart. I hid behind the corner before I was caught by someone who just come out. You know what I mean? So it actually gives you some of the traits that you choose. Obviously, change the narrative within the game.
Well, I would hope so. Is it like Mitch Hedberg said, though, in Venice, kids got canal smarts.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no streets.
But the vibes from this are very X-Files, kind of creepy.
Okay.
I'm way more impressed with this than I thought. And I'm really enjoying the writing. I think it's really well written. Do you know when it's like reading a book, but you're interacting with it. It's again like a choose your own
I know what a visual
story.
Novel is.
But what's cool about this is...
It's like a novel, but you can see it.
Unlike Slay the Princess, this is an actual proper story with fleshed out characters.
Okay.
So there's loads of different characters that
so
you meet along the
first,
way.
So did Slay the Princess come first?
Yeah, this came first. So they started making this
How
first.
Can I believe that this woman is called Tabitha?
She's
called
Tabitha
in this fucking day and age.
In this day and age?
This day and age.
Yeah,
she's a bitch, by the way. Tabitha is...
Sounds like a bitch.
She is a bitch.
She says her last dialogue was cool, good talk.
Yeah,
Sarky
bitch.
She is.
She's totally like that.
I like snarky people.
Yeah. So I like this. I like all the characters. I'm really intrigued as to what's going to happen. It's like a fully fleshed out.
So you're saying it's better than Alan Wake 2?
Yeah. Do you know, it's on a par. On a par with Alan Wake 2.
I bet I can understand the plot summary of this.
It's not, but it's great. It's really, really cleverly done. Again,
it has lines such as, is that your cat?
Yeah.
Look forward to playing that. Can't wait for that.
It does. See, this person has a talk to the animals trait, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Futurama line never seems so relevant.
Yeah.
That cat looks like it's seducing you.
Well, that cat does want to fuck. Wow. What the hell? That just took it to
Oh, I'm sorry. Have I crossed the line here? Tell me more about Alan Wake 2 with its weird bullshit.
Can I just say, I have played this game for quite a while.
Do you shag the cat?
And I don't think there's any bestiality in it so far. There's none so far.
What, do they not want people to buy the game?
Maybe.
I mean, have you not seen what Furry Hitler did in terms of sales on Steam? Come on, man.
Wow.
Oh, by the way.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
Random thing. Sorry to go off topic, right? But we had a customer inquire at work, right? It is relevant. It's not about shaking cats, but it's very relevant, right? And they said, oh, we got an event on at the NEC, which is a fuck off. I mean, you've been there, Stu. It's a fuck off place, right?
It's a big place.
And it's a cat festival, which we nicknamed in the office CatCon.
CatCon.
So it's basically like Crufts, but for cats, right?
Yeah.
And there's going to be 300 cats there.
Wow.
And they want us to film it. Do you think I'm going to fucking put my name for them for that? Someone who's allergic to cats? Are you fucking
definitely joking? Not.
It's like, no, I won't be doing that. Anyway, random.
Yeah.
Back to the game. Scarlet Hollow.
Scarlet Hollow, give it a go. First episode's free.
Right here. Yeah, okay.
It is. That's a guest. That's where you have to stay. That's your guest bathroom.
Run away. What are you talking about? You have to stay in this shithole.
Oh, I changed the toilet seat this week.
And it's like, you need to go to the loo, right? And then it gives you loads of the options, and you're like...
I'm very proud of you, Chinny.
Do I just hold it in? Or shall I just go? Long? You know, it's... I know that. So I just went in the end.
Can you play the game again, but just hold it in for as long as...
Yeah.
Or can you shit on the cat, maybe?
But it's so crusty, you see. That's that. Another line of the dialogue.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You're signing resignation because you've got to go for a piss. Yes, hey. You know.
Okay.
Got to do it.
All right, great game. We're done talking about Scarlet Hollow, then.
We are done. Scarlet Hollow is on my game of the year list, along with Slay the Princess. This woman that husband.
This studio has a new fan.
It has. It's me.
Yeah. All right, Chinny, got anything else other than Alan Wack?
Shall we talk about?
Oh yeah. Plamagamba. Indivisible.
Yeah, bitch.
Indivisible. It's like game. Play my game, bitch. Where we pick a game.
Yeah, and we all play it.
Play it.
And, we did.
This is based on the Pledge of Allegiance that people say in the United States: one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is that real?
Yes. Y'all don't have that over there, do you? It's not. No. This game isn't based on that, but it is. That's the only time anybody ever says that word is in the Pledge of Allegiance to the U.S. flag. Which is
I said it this week when I said, "What the fuck is the game that we got to play?" It's indivisible.
Yes, this is a 2D party-based RPG from Lab Zero Games. The opening cinematic art is gorgeous and epic. It made me think, like, is this based on like a cartoon or something? And no, it's not. They just designed like literally like 10, 15 worlds for these characters to be running around. And I mean, I guess it's probably from the game, but still, it's just like, wow.
I'll be honest, opening cinematic, I was like, I feel like I've gone back to my childhood. You know, like when you used to watch all those like dubbed Japanese animes that you used to have on the TV.
We just watched Akira last night again. That movie is gorgeous.
Yeah. But it is like, I mean, it's just it really brilliantly done. I was like,
And it starts you out, though, like, I don't remember if it was before or after this, but it was like, you're going to fight right away. Like, here comes some fighting. Now, you fight an invincible, unknown enemy. All of the characters you're controlling are completely unknown. And it's like, what am I even supposed to do here? And
it doesn't even tell you how to fight.
It doesn't. They know you'll just start mashing buttons. It's the Soul Blade school of thought, which is like, they'll eventually start mashing the buttons. And that's how anybody gets good at Soul Blade, is just mashing the buttons, and eventually you learn the combos. Yeah, and then it, you know, you get defeated by this invincible unknown monster, and then it says 13 years later, and then you're this kid getting trained by dad how to fight. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much the beginning of the story, isn't it? And then some shit goes down.
Some shit goes down. And it's a little bit like Planet of Lana, the opening credit or the opening sequence, because
you
go to the left, and then spoilers for the first 10 minutes of this game, your whole village is wiped out. And your dad dies, and then you got a quest.
Yeah, you do, and you pick up people along the way, don't you?
Yeah,
and
one of them is the guy who killed your dad, which is weird.
Yeah, like, your enemy becomes an ally.
Yeah. And you know, they do a good job. First of all, there's a lot of interesting, amusing dialogue with the townsfolk, because, again, what's the best part of any RPG? Talking to the townsfolk. There's this dude who's carrying some sticks, and she's like, "You're really good at carrying those sticks." He's like, "Well, it's all I do. I better be good at it." And then he's
his character name's like Stick Mom.
Yeah. And then he's like, "If you commit yourself to something, then you'll get better at it." And she's like, "Yeah, but I don't really like doing stuff." So I thought that was a great line. It's pretty funny. There's some good humorous dialogue here. When the dad gets frustrated with you, he's trying to train you and he's being really harsh. And then he's like, "All right, if you're going to insult me, then I'll see you back at home." And he leaves and he just sort of like moves. He like glides backwards off the screen. So it's like Homer Simpson going back into the bushes. It's really bizarre.
What I found quite interesting, though, because your dad's teaching you all the shit that you need to know.
He's not your dad. I can just I call it right now. He ain't your fucking dad.
Well, anyway, right? He's teaching you all this stuff so you can become a better warrior and all that.
Yeah.
But then he gets killed. He's a bit of shit. You know what I mean?
Well,
he fights some dude.
No, it just goes to show how powerful the Evan
and then
the
you
Revenant
fight the dude and
Lord
beat him,
is.
But your dad can't beat him. What
yeah,
the
well,
fuck?
That's because he's
teaching you how to be a better
all
warrior.
Of his greatness into you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very, I agree. That's really weird. And then he's like, "Do I just live in your head now?" She's like, "I guess." Like, I like how all the characters are like, "I don't know what's going on.
What the hell just happened?"
And then you meet this woman, Razmi, the curmudgeonly shaman. She is the best character ever. She's so deadpan. Everything she says
Jesus
is like,
so funny.
Yeah. Okay. There's this monk and this nun who are like, "We're studying these red gems. And if you get one, we can use it to upgrade your powers." And then the girl is like, the player character is like, "How do I do that?" And then the curmudgeonly shaman shows up and goes, "You're supposed to eat it. Just eat it. Eat it right away." The other woman's like, "No, do not eat it."
You do not eat the gems.
Yeah. She's just fun. I love her. She's a great character.
But yes, I really enjoyed this game to a point.
I wanted to love it. I thought the characters
were
awesome.
Did.
It keeps things moving quickly. The thing that killed it for me, the platforming.
The combat for me.
The combat
is
annoying, but I felt like just when I was getting sick and tired of the combat, I figured out what I needed to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm learning more about the combat. It is frustrating, the combat.
Yeah, I got to a spider boss. So I played this for quite a while. And I got to this spider boss. And could I kill the spider boss? And I just kept dying. And I'm just like, I think I'm done. I think I'm done.
It does this thing of like, I think that you just barely be able to beat it. Like it's leveling you up just to a point where you can just barely beat things.
And the other annoying thing is, right, the spider boss was in three stages.
That sucks.
Right? And I did the first two stages, right? I then got killed, and it makes you do it right from the beginning again. And it's taken me ages to do the first two stages of the spider boss. And I was like, oh my God, this is too punishing. Yeah.
And it's for those who aren't watching the video, like the combat is sort of turn-based, but it's also real time. So you need to be ready to block at the right moment. And then as soon as the blocking part is done, but not before then, because otherwise you'll just block twice. You need to be ready to attack when the character, and there's four characters which correspond to the four buttons on the gamepad. So it's, you know, Y, B, A, X, whatever. when yours is activated, then you need to be ready to hit that button. And so it's there's a
what's
lot
also quite cool. It fills up if you don't touch anything, it fills up quicker.
Right.
So you're almost balancing this not attacking with attacking. And
Right. Also
what I didn't realize is you can do whilst you're waiting for them to attack you. It is turn-based, but it isn't in a way because you can actually attack twice at the same time if you get
you
to them before
it's
they
true.
Attack you.
Right. So it's trying to walk that balance between turn-based
and
not.
Yeah, it is. But I found it really difficult to get my head around. And
Sometimes
I would just die really quick and sometimes I could, you know, do all right for a while.
Right.
And
right.
Oh, but yeah,
so I reached a point with the Metroidvania platforming stuff. Like I reached a point where, I'd gone everywhere else I could go. So I knew I had to go up on this ledge, but I couldn't figure out.
Yeah, with the axe. No, you got the axe, don't you?
No, I got the axe. It wasn't that. It was... There was a spot that I had to go up a lot of stuff on the left side and then like leap over, I guess. But I kept hitting this wall that dropped me. I was like, you know what? I've tried this over and over and over.
Fuck this game. I am done.
Yeah. And I, to be fair, I got to the same point, but a lot further on than you, I think, where I got to this big spider
boss. It sounds like
boss.
The combat becomes just.
Because I fought two bosses. I fought one boss, which I didn't have much trouble with. I mean, it took me a few goes, but. Then I got to this spider boss thing and flipping out. But I also feel like it's kind of Metroidvania and there's a lot of paths you can go along, you know what I mean, and explore different areas.
Is it
and
possible part you of me... needed to come back to that spider when you're stronger?
Yeah, but you can't get it. Once you sort of activate the fight, you can't kind of back out of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, so it's
one of those.
I guess
I could. I mean, I did
Which
do some
it shouldn't
manual
happen.
Saves, so
it shouldn't be the type of thing where you need to have multiple save files. Like that's sucky in itself. Chinny, what did you think
so
of Indivisible?
Feel like,
didn't play it. So the no, but there is something that we should mention about this game.
Go on.
Okay.
A lot of controversy around this game.
About what?
Really? Why?
So the developer, which is Lab Zero.
I read about this.
They made, I think it's a game called Skullgirls.
Yeah, they did.
All right, I played that.
And then it all comes down to this chap called Mike Zalmont.
Yeah.
It turns out, I think I'm going through this. They've all got backgrounds in sort of BlazBlue. Remember BlazBlue, which is sort of like a fighting anime game, which is very popular. And then Alex Ahad, who's like a freelance illustrator, that's who sort of started this studio. And this Mike is basically got accused of like a lot of sexual harassment things.
Ugh,
really? I'm paraphrasing here. And he also made a I Can't Breathe George Floyd joke on a live stream after that happened.
Not cool, dude. Not cool.
Then basically the whole sort of studio closed. After that,
fuck that dude.
Yeah. So I think the game just ended, and then just stopped, and they just released it and stuff. So yeah, that's the kind of history of this game. But the reason why it looks so good is because it's the BlazBlue developers, pretty much. Like it's the talent behind.
There's
that,
no doubt. I mean, it is polished. You know what I mean?
Beautiful. I mean, I didn't play it. I didn't have time. But like, I'm
and
just
you wanted
looking
to take
at
a
now,
stand for feminism.
Yeah,
no, well, it wasn't that.
I'm just kidding.
I'll pretend that I did that. No, it was more, you know, like time. But looking at this game, you know, the art is absolutely beautiful. Now that I read, as soon as I saw the words BlazBlue, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense, you know. And also, like they had before that, there was in Marvel versus Capcom. So there's talent. There's a lot of talent here. Unfortunately. It didn't end well for this studio.
So does this game completed? It's complete, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing it's sort of complete.
I think something about it is complete, but there was supposed to be some DLC, and then it's not going to happen.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like the studio's closed, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
So it's and then so the whole Lab Zero developer is gone. Like the people who made this game.
Wow.
I mean the guy Mike to clarify, he did apologize after that statement. Obviously it's too late then, but it just seems like this guy isn't a very nice guy. So that's this game. But the game, I mean, looking at it, it's, you know, it's in random encounters, isn't it? So you go into an enemy and then there's three pop out and then all your party pops out, which is sort of like a JRPG trope. Not my thing really, so I feel like what I would have said is Looks good, not for me.
Yeah. No, I believe that would probably have been the case, to be fair.
Probably, yeah.
To be fair. All right.
So, you know, I guess I'd give it a thumbs down, which again is a shame because I really wanted to like this game. So, I.
Yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up for everything apart from the combat. And wow, unfortunately, that's part of the RPG, game. So it's got to be down. Overall a thumbs down, yeah, I'm afraid.
Two thumbs down on this one. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Stu, not you got something else?
Yeah, the only other thing I've been playing is a bit more Banishers. So I'm still on with that. Yeah. That's my go-to game at the moment.
Ghostbusters.
It is kind of, that's what it is. It's a ghost busting detective game is the best way to describe this game.
Sure.
You know, you're busting ghosts, but you have to do a lot of research before you do the final encounter. So it's kind of this build, all the main quests are this just build up to busting a ghost. Mm-hmm. And the overarching storyline revolves around a nightmare. So it's a sort of a type of ghost that's infecting a whole town.
Sure.
So you've got to kind of deal with it. Uh-huh. And yeah, I like it. I really like this game.
Anything new it's to say way about better. It?
Not really. There's much okay. of a much. There's not been any huge revelations.
You know, in the in the movie Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know the green ghost. What was his name?
Slimer,
yeah.
It was not Slimer.
What?
Really? What was it?
Onion Head.
Bunny and Head.
It wasn't.
Onion Head. Wow. His Onion actual head. Official really? Name is Onion Head, but they call him Slimer in the film.
Damn, that's crazy.
Well, to be fair, right? To be fair, if that's what they refer to him as in the film... And there's no reference to Onion Head.
His name is Onion Head.
He's called
his name,
Slimer.
That's his name.
He's called Slimer.
No. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's not. I guess he's not.
Do you think he knows his name is Onion Head?
Yeah, he goes around going, hello, I'm Onion
yeah,
Head.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't. He's Slimer. He's whatever people refer to him as.
Onion Head.
Slimer.
Okay. Next video game.
Next video game. Yeah, so I bought something in the sale. The Steam sale, the spring sale is on now, people, and they have a whole array of exciting, the latest, most innovative video games ever, and you have your pick of all these different possibilities. I have a wish list of like 100 different
titles.
You could
slay dragons, take on universes.
Yeah, you can.
Lots of stuff.
As
what
Homer
did you
Simpson
choose to do?
Said, the build-up here is making me nervous. I chose to buy Electronics Puzzle Lab.
Yay!
Of course you did. Because
it was like $2. I'm like, I don't want to lose money. I talked about this recently when they had it on Next Fest, the demo, and the game. You'll be glad to know the game is a lot more of the same levels, using the same basic.
I am glad to know that. Yeah,
we are. Yeah, totally glad.
I am quite relieved.
Once you learn about ore gates, there's like 15 levels with ore gates, just ore gates, and then they add the not gates, so you have ore gates and not gates, and then it's like, oh boy, it's getting
oh
more
just my God.
So exciting.
Boy oh boy oh boy, I'm so excited.
And the worst
to play
part
this.
Is the demo is one thing, they put a fucking timer and then it's like badges based on how fast you get it, so if you don't solve this shit in 10 seconds you can't get the badge with the star on it, and it's like you got the crap badge. It's like,
well, you see,
I'll tell you, just turn that off. Why do I need a timer? Fuck you.
I thought I had problems, Duke, but these are real
exactly.
issues.
Exactly. The kids in Gaza need to understand what real suffering is. I'm going through some real suffering.
Yeah, trying to solve these electronic puzzles. Yeah,
so are you enjoying electronics
under the
puzzle
clock. But yeah, no, it's great. It's a very well-made game. It's stupid in that, it feels like something only a masochist would play or someone who's an actual electrical engineer. But, whatever. I'm having fun with it. It's good.
No, it's definitely your type of game, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is.
It's funny how we've all got our sort of our niches. You know, Stu likes the sort of graphic novel,
yes, he does.
Sort of weird novels. Stuff. Yep. You like the ones where you can just sort of like fiddle around and fix electronic boards.
Tinkering. Chinny froze up.
I know. I was like, what the hell?
Wow, usually it's Stu that freezes up.
It is usually me.
Oh my God, we get to give Chinny a hard time.
I know. To be fair, right? I thought that was my internet then, and I was waiting.
I know, right?
For
I was worried about that for a second because you weren't moving, and I was like, oh no.
So shall we do emails? We have got a couple. We've got a couple of emails.
Email! world.
Is he back?
Back, Chinny. Yes, he's back. Look.
Yeah, what the hell happened?
It's just the internet quit off.
Yeah, you see, I said Virgin is shit, innit? Okay,
how many years have I done this, and how many times the my internet cut off compared to yours?
I'm just saying.
Well, actually,
waiting for a chance to give you shit about your internet for a change.
I'm not giving you shit. I'm just saying
right,
Virgin.
Right, everybody calm down because
it's
you don't
snowing
know
in Wisconsin.
Story.
What the fuck?
Right. I don't think it's the internet.
What was it? Is it Rosa chewing through the cables?
Yeah, it's that what she's up to now.
Rosa, get off the fucking couch. It's the plug, you know, the things that you plug into the wall and then they put the
plug.
Ethernet cable?
I think it's that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I know what you mean. No, the internet goes into a modem, correct?
Yeah.
And then
an
Ethernet comes out of that and then goes into a plug and the Ethernet goes into the plug and then the internet travels through my electronic
current. One of those same things rigged to my PC.
Well, I know you do because I got the idea from you, Stupot.
Yes.
They do work sometimes.
And I think it's that keeps
Well, now that we got that sorted, let's keep going with the emails.
Okay, emails.
Oh, I didn't finish my joke. I was going to finish my joke. Can I finish my joke?
Sorry, just go ahead.
I was saying it's, we've all found our niches. Stu,
you did.
Weird games.
I do.
You like your games where you can sort of lose yourself a little bit and do little electronics.
Yeah,
and I like good games.
Oh, snap.
That's the joke.
I'll be
you
honest.
Like not
I thought,
playing any games.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say I like games where you shoot people in the face. That's what I thought.
No, I like games good where games, you don't have to play games. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Well, all right. So emails.
No. Hold on.
Oh, what now? What?
Look at the show notes, dickheads.
What? Oh, no, hold on. Jesus.
Oh, did you add something?
Oh my god!
I was laboring under the impression that we were going to put our games down before the show started. No. So that
that's how it usually
Chinny's introducing
works.
The surprise twist version.
I've just played one in the 10 seconds I was offline.
No,
he was waiting to spring it on us.
I have done one thing that I have never done ever this week.
I know what you've been playing. I've seen the messages on Discord. I know.
That's right. I have.
I've also, I got 4.5 hours of video game time. This week. Me and Marsh were available at the same time.
Oh,
Marsh is my best bird.
Yeah.
And we played Helldivers 2.
Video game on our podcast.
Yeah. We realized that me and Marsh have never ever played the PlayStation together ever.
Wow,
never.
It's always the Xbox. We played the PC. We played the Xbox together. We've never played a PlayStation game together ever. Hmm. So anyway, we jumped into Helldivers. I was level 1. Marsh was already level 23. Right, that guy's been.
Okay.
All right. And when I say the first game was, you know, Duke, you know when you jump into a Call of Duty map and you're like, oh, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Do that, but times 20, because you're like, I don't know anything.
Right.
I was just following Marsh. He was like, drop this, do this. Yeah. I'm like, okay. However, you know, 1 hour goes by, you're like, oh, I'm getting it. So Helldivers 2 is basically just a fucking co-op PvE. You land, you shoot some stuff, and you
fuck
up.
It's bugs. It's like Starship Troopers, right?
Yeah, everyone's saying it's like Starship Troopers.
Well,
yeah,
it is.
A lot of comparison.
I'm going to do a Stu classic line here.
Okay, here we go.
It is and it isn't. Because the easy enemies are the bugs.
Okay.
Right.
What are the hardest?
The easy enemies, the bugs. And it is like Starship Troopers because they're like, you want to drink some Liberty? And they're doing, it's all tongue-in-cheek. And it's, tell you what, right, this game makes you feel fucking awesome, right? Like, you, like, drop it in and the music and the fucking, you put your feet in the thing in the pod, and then you go, thump, and then you go, and oh my God. Honestly, you feel like, fuck yeah, I'm going to fucking kill all these mugs. This is great. Yeah. And it's so well done. Well, you know, you name your shit. Yeah, I don't know what this helmet is. But you name all your shit. You get a ship and you can name it. And it's like something of the something. So mine's like Rain of the Storm or something like that or whatever. And it's like Wrath of the War or whatever you can name it. It's great. And you can rename it and you got stuff. And it's all simple. And you don't know. It's not too complicated on how to work everything out. So you got these bugs. You kill the bugs. And all the missions are sort of varied. So my first mission was, you press a button on a thing, right? Then it goes, right, you got to activate these three batteries on this map and defend them. Yeah. So you do that. And now you got to do this button, press this button, and then you got to extract. And then you have to wait 2 minutes to extract. And like all the missions, like, you know, sometimes it's like track down this fuck off monster. And there's two of them and you kill them. But on the way, there's like nests. There's like nests and there's things like that. And some missions are like, just like set this off and go out or get the nuke codes and set the nuke off. And then you set the nuke off and you're watching the nuke go up in the air. But then you realize, hang on, this is a fucking nuke. And it blows you like fucking 20 meters off of the right. Like loads of great stuff, loads of great moments where, so you call in these, they call stratagems, right?
Okay.
So, and the name is—it's all tongue in cheek. It's meant to be funny, right? Yeah. So, you call it like they're kind of like airstrikes, Duke, or mortar strikes. You can buy loads of different versions. The funny thing is, if you're holding one and you die and you drop it, it drops the stratagem.
Oh, nice!
So if you're holding a carpet bomb
it drops it.
And you're like, where you die, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like who dropped that? And like,
well, I did. Call of Duty, but times 100.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like some of the fucking weapons are amazing. And there's like little features where you've got a main weapon like an assault rifle, a sort of pistol-y sort of weapon, sometimes it's semi-automatic, and then you've got like a big fucking weapon that you have to call down. You have to like bring it down.
What does it sound like?
Right. Everything sounds like epic.
Also, it does. No, but I'm
gravitas.
Honestly, everything's got gravitas. The guns feel good. The bugs, like they have ragdoll physics, and it's delightful, Duke. Honestly, you love PvE.
I know. The more you talk about it, the more
beautiful.
It's on PC.
Yeah, right, it's on PC. It's on PlayStation.
Is it crossplay?
It's crossplay, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, every box you want ticked with this game, it fucking ticks it, right? Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is pretty. You know, it's kind of got like that Mercenaries 2 vibe about it, or Mercenaries vibe. It's got that sort of, you know, like, I don't know, just like the Destiny sort of cloaks and stuff, but not a complicated loot and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And this is some cool things that the game's been doing. So it's been interjecting a few things, right?
Okay.
So they introduced flying bugs, right?
Okay.
But the way they did it was very interesting. They only put flying bugs in a few different games across the world.
Yeah.
So now and again, some people will go on Reddit or go on YouTube and be like, did you see that? What was that?
Yeah.
I got a flying bug. What's that? And they're like, I don't get it. And then eventually they bring in more and more and more until they're there all the time.
Interesting.
But Starship Troopers isn't where it ends, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Because then if you want to get down to the serious shit, they added fucking mechs, right?
Wow.
And you're like, this is all of a sudden soundtrack and all has turned into Terminator, and now we're fucked, right? Because the mechs do not fuck around at all, right? They are scary as fuck. Like the bugs are like, I don't know, they're just stupid bugs. You're just killing them, right?
Yeah.
And but the mechs, oh my god, they are
so presumably
terrifying.
Your gun is useless against the mechs. So you gotta just use strategy.
Sometimes, but they have the, you know, like attack walkers. You know, like big. What's the small ones? The two legged ones in Star Wars. They've got one of them. I don't know, STA, whatever it is, right? I don't know. Who gives a fuck? Star Wars, laser swords, no one gives a shit. And they're all made of fucking Lego, right? Or anyway, so
AT-ST.
Those AT-ST ones, right? There's those versions, but if you get around the back, it's just a little robot, like operating it, like with the turret, so you got to get around the back. But if you're at the front end of it, you're fucked, and you can't do anything to it unless you've got your heavy gun. But sometimes your heavy gun can be a grenade launcher, it can be a bazooka, it can be like whatever. And then there's this feature where, Duke, you'll love this, right? there's an auto cannon gun, And if you want, if somebody else has got the backpack for it, you can press X to attach onto that person and your co-op partner, and you follow them around and you make them shoot quicker because you're loading them.
Very cool.
Like this, this actions, right?
Yeah.
And it's just fucking great. I can't get over. I had so many moments in this game when I went, I think this is the greatest game I've ever played. Like,
wow.
It's, like,
Look, he can't even talk. He's that excited, dude. He can't even get his words out.
Right. There are a few co-op moments in my life. When you play co-op games, like some of the best co-op gaming moments of my life was when me and Marsh got chucked out of HMV for playing Halo 1 too long in the shop.
Yeah, sure.
We got chucked out. Then you've got like Left 4 Dead, which is like, oh my god, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you've got, I don't know, like
Portal 2,
right? This is fucking up there, man. Wow. On it, like Gears of War, like this is like what the fuck? This is unbelievable, and so much fun, so dangerous in terms of like, hey, one more, just do one more. I just wanted to buy one more. As soon as you start
do the quests all take about the same amount of time?
Yeah, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, okay, you know, gotcha. Like they scale as well and get a bit hard. Also, you land on a bit, right? And there's loads of like nests everywhere. And when I played the first like arena on my own and I did it, right? But it was quite tricky on my own, but I did it. But I just did the quest. I didn't really know what else to do. But like when I land with Marsh, he's like, oh, there's a nest here, there's a nest here, there's a nest here.
Clearing out nests and getting XP and stuff.
So for the quest. But one of the mech ones, we were like, could we clear, instead of nest, it's like outposts. They land these outposts.
Right.
And you're like, okay, should we, and we were like, fuck, we were getting chased. Like, they chase you. These mechs are chasing you across the fucking map. And me and Marshall running. And he's like looking back, running. And we're like, I think we're in the clear. And then there's two more. They're still chasing us, right? And they're like, fuck. Even like this stuff on the screen now where you've got to input the thing, you've actually got to do it with your D-pad. You've got to go up, left, up, left. Yeah. And sometimes you've got to move a satellite and then the one person can see where you've got to move it to and the other person's got to move it. So sometimes you have to communicate like that. And it's just brilliant. Honestly, dude,
you're making a good case. I don't know. Silly fun. I mean, I got one more week until spring break, and this seems like it would be a good game to play.
Let me ask. Is this up to four player co-op, or is it
four player co-op?
Now it's brilliant. That I often have time. I have a hard time coordinating times to play with other people, so I would probably end up playing a lot of this alone. Is this going to be fun to play on my own?
Yeah, you can play alone, but you can also play with three random strangers.
Yeah, sure.
And the rando, there is in-game chat sort of.
Do they use the in-game chat?
I think so.
I guess you haven't played random. Just to play with Marsh though.
I'm just playing with Marsh. Okay. But the funny thing that happened, right? Somebody messaged me while I was playing this game, right? And it was a chap called Slater.
Okay.
Slater 76, his name is, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, I saw the name pop up and I went, oh my God. I haven't spoke to this man for 16 years.
Damn.
Wow. That is a long time.
Was he on your friends
time.
List or just like just some rando that you met once upon a time?
It was Gears of War 1 that I played this game, right?
Wow.
And then he's messaging me a message. I said, Marsh, remember Slater? We used to play Gears of War 1 with Slater. He's like, yeah. He's like, he just sent me an invite. Should we join? I was like, yeah, let's join. Should we join in? And as soon as I joined in, I remembered. It just sort of flashed back. It like unlocked a memory. And I was like, oh my God, he's mate Lenny. Because I met these guys in real life, by the way. Because they live close to me. They live close. They live in Wolverhampton, right? And I met them through somebody where I used to work. And I met them in town ages ago. But I was like, oh my God, Lenny. I remember Lenny. He used to be like a sniper rifle guy in Gears. All these memories came back. And I went, and as soon as I came in, he went, oh my God, Chinny's here. This is fucking unbelievable. And we played for hours, right? And honestly, within about 4 minutes, we were like, yep, okay. And we were just talking like about the game. That was it.
Set up, done, yeah.
Back into it. You've even got the bit on the ship. The first thing that Marsh and I did on this game, Duke,
yes,
is we hugged. We hooked. There's an emoji. There's what do you call it?
All right, if Stu's going to give me shit about dancing in Guild Wars 2.
Because his character did that. His character put his arms out. And I pressed X and we hooked.
I like it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What
but there's
Why
loads.
Not?
There's
What's
honestly,
wrong with that?
Honestly, it's just. But the, you know what? There is a gameplay element to that, right? Yeah. To the hug. So if in the game you can have like a bubble shield, remember the bubble shield in Halo?
Yeah.
So if I've got the bubble shield and Marshy hugs me, if you're getting attacked, it protects both of you.
Okay.
There's a hugging shield. Is that what you're
saying?
Yes.
Honestly, it's so good. I cannot stress enough how brilliant the.
I think it's amazing to think that these guys made an isometric top-down game.
That was the first.
And then just made this and just went, yeah, let's do this and blow it out of the water.
I cannot stress enough how brilliant the guns feel, how great the sound design is, how interesting the co-op elements are that I've never experienced before, how brilliant the music is and how it makes you like really fucking, it feels like you're in Starship Troopers. You swooped into it. It's like, it's such,
so let me ask,
the propaganda works because you're like, fucking yeah, I'm going to kill all these bugs.
So let me ask you this. So predictions here, I know it's very early in the year. But could this be on
absolutely.
The wowzers.
It's one of the best co-op experiences.
From playing
I've
it
ever
once.
Played.
This is, can we just stress
this is
one from
4 hour.
Playing it once.
Yeah, yeah, I know. This is 1 4-hour stint. Wow. And, you know, maybe in 20 hours. But Marshy's played it for fucking hours and hours and hours and he loves it. And yeah, I want to play it now.
Wow, I can't remember the last time. I am being genuinely.
Chinny's not been excited about games for a
while.
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time you've been this excited.
Just.
I mean, you're enjoying Alan Wake too, but it's not this level of excitement.
He's not dying to play it again. He's just like, okay, I gotta get back to it, I guess.
Like, Alan Wake, it's such a horrible place to be in.
Yeah, it is. It's not a happy place.
When you're Alan Wake, there's these shadow men that just go, whack! And you're like, why do I want to be? But when I go in this game, they go, fucking welcome aboard. Let's kill some bugs, motherfucker. Let's go. Cool. You know, so
and the missions don't repeat themselves a lot? Or
They do repeat, to be fair. But I would say the fun is, you could argue that, okay, a Call of Duty multiplayer mission
repeats. But it's there's
fun,
a lot of variations on it.
Yeah, the fun is the variations. For example, the one that we played that was Mechs was it honestly felt like a movie moment. When you're being extracted, right? Yeah. We were just about fucking holding these robots off. Just about. And we were like, if they throw another wave at us, we're fucked here.
Yeah,
and it was.
And then the ship arrived just in time.
Ships arrived, we get on, and I'm crouched by the ramp, and I'm like, fucking go, get on that fucking ship.
That's a bit like, I remember so many moments in Left 4 Dead like that, you know, when you were just got out by the skin of your teeth.
Stu, I know you're not a multiplayer game, but this is a PvE. It's not quite the same thing.
I know.
I honestly think, I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't really like this game. It's just like
I've not heard any negative stuff. No.
Just like everything you think. Can I do that? Yes, you can. And also this. Fuck you. It's just brilliant. £40.
Can I just say it is not in the Steam sale?
No, it's not. Just buy the bloody thing.
It's not in the Steam.
It's £40.
It's £35 on Steam.
But there you go, £35. Yeah. It's not that bad, really. Like, no, you know, when people are moaning about 60, 70 quid games, this is 35 quid. 35 quid.
Yeah,
I think it was 40 on the PlayStation. Not bad.
But again, how much will people buy into this? Because it is at a reasonable price. You know what I mean? That it's not at a crazy price.
But it's, you know, these days, though, Stu, paying for stuff is too much. Because how much stuff is free?
Yeah.
You know? And when people are like, I've got to pay. Fortnite's free. Yeah. Why have I got to pay? You know, so but charging a price is premium these days. Anything, £10.
I mean, is this true? This is one of the reviews on Steam.
Go on.
The only co-op game where you're scared of your teammates more than the monsters.
Correct. Friendly fire is always on.
Oh, wow.
But that is what makes it so brilliant. It's like,
could you not
for
get
example,
a troll then just fucking you up?
No, because you don't really get rewarded for
trolling is its own reward, though.
I didn't come across that, Duke.
Okay.
I didn't come across
that. I'm glad to hear, and I hope that's there all. Isn't much of it. But.
So, but the funny thing is like, you know, Slater puts these, you can put these like device down that spits out all these mines. And you're like, great, well, that's a fucking minefield for me.
Yeah,
that's
right,
that's
sure.
my problem there.
No, I won't go and that like, direction, yeah.
But like, you know, and it does happen. Like I said, that's why, you know, when you've got like a carpet bomb in your hand and right. you die and you drop it.
Yeah.
But there's a cost to that because then you take out your whole teammates. And right. then but there's great moments where Marsh and because sometimes it is a little bit janky in terms of like bugs can get stuck in like geometry and stuff. But Marsh got stuck. The nuclear bomb thing went off and Marsh got stuck between like a ramp and a lamppost and he couldn't move. His character couldn't move. So he went, and so we were sort of running away and we were sort of joking and he put like a massive like eagle cluster bomb on himself to kill himself.
Right.
And he was like, go on without me, lads. You know, that kind of thing.
Fury Road, like honor me or...
Yeah, that's it. But it didn't kill him. It knocked him out. So he was like, I survived, right? Yeah. So it managed to, and it's just brilliant. Even though, like, you explode, the game still says, you've lost your left and right limbs, you know, like, and all that sort of stuff. So it's just so funny. And it's you know, they're teasing new things. So there's, like, a mech suit in the game now, and, like, they feed it in. So in some ways, there is some sort of, like, a narrative kind of thread going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like...
well, that's smart, though, because then that keeps it fresh and, you know...
The fact that they bled in flying bugs instead of going, right. a whole shebang, now but their marketing now, right. was to be quiet, you know, and go, right. let people figure it out.
Better to do that than, like, in the next update, it's going to be $20 exactly. and you'll have flying bugs and new weapons.
Exactly. Honestly, it's some of the most cleverest... ways of introducing new stuff because mechs wasn't in the game when it started. It was just bugs. Right. And apparently in the first game, there's four enemy types. So that you know there's other stuff coming. Right. Superb. Absolutely top draw. 5 out of 5. Helldivers 2. Fantastic.
I'm going to buy it right now, and here's why. You did encourage me to consider it, but the reason I was just thinking about it because I was going to ask if there's any microtransactions, and then I realized almost certainly not. And here's the thing: if I want to reward developers for taking the more traditional route of here's the game, yes, you have to pay a bit for it, but once you do, the whole thing is yours, and you don't have to wait for shit to be dripped to you. Like I need to put my money where my mouth is. I need to give them. I need to reward that, and not just wait for sales.
There is like credits you can buy with real money, that kind of thing. But like you could still earn it. Probably just cosmetic.
I like this. This is another review here. It says, got knocked out of bounds by some exploding mushrooms, was declared a traitor for abandoning the mission, and then got nuked from orbit. Yeah. 10 out of 10, I'm doing my part.
Honestly, it's glorious. It's just such a beautiful game.
Only good bug is a dead bug. There you go.
Correct. And it's kind of just, it's so well done. So well done. Duke, I really hope you get on. There's a lot of people playing it. I think the SEAL team are playing it.
When I ran into them this week, they were playing fucking Hunt Showdown again.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, y'all.
Well, I'm usually available quite late, Duke. So usually when I'm available, Marsh isn't available. But maybe I can be available when you're playing games.
Maybe
it's quite late. Sure. But yeah, and you can join just three randos and see how you get on. You will be lost in the first like hour
of
or course. So. Just,
I'm okay with that. I don't mind
warning,
that.
Forewarning.
And here's the final review before we do emails. This game is the tits. There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, Helldivers 2.
Right, let's do... We have played the jingle for the email a long time ago.
Go ahead, start reading.
But let's just go. Right, and the first email is from Lee Griggs, and he says, eggs.
Eggs.
Eggs. Eggs. Well, it is nearly Easter. It is nearly Easter, isn't it?
It might be about my B12, though, isn't it?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to thank you for a great podcast.
I've written into the wrong show.
It's definitely written into the wrong show. I'm working my way backwards through all of them. Oh, I'm currently on episode 62 now.
Oh, boy.
I just found out that Stu doesn't like eggs. Not sure if that's still the case. Well, and he says, is there an update on the stance on eggs? Will be fully appreciated. So here's the thing, right?
You were giving me loads of shit about eating eggs.
No. What I don't like is runny eggs, right? So I won't eat a fried egg. I won't eat a soft-boiled egg. Weird. Or anything with a runny yolk or a poached egg, you can forget that. Stick that where the sun don't shine. I don't want none of your runny eggs. But I will eat
hard boiled, scrambled.
I'll eat hard boiled, scrambled, omelette, quiche. So anything where it's fully cooked, I'm absolute. And mixed You're up in. As well. Mixed up. I don't like mixed it up. Separate. I don't
Cake.
Like separate. Yeah, egg. Yeah, anything in cakes, egg mayonnaise, sandwiches are okay. But yeah, and I will eat a hard boiled egg, you know, just hard boiled. But runny, anything snotty, no thank you. There you go.
People love poached eggs, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is when I was a kid growing up, I ate, my mum made me fried eggs and chips one night for tea. And I literally, within 5 minutes of eating it, I vomited like violently sick everywhere.
I shouldn't laugh at that. That's horrible.
And it's psychosomatic. It put me off runny eggs forever. You know what I mean? That was it. That's like, I ain't never eating another runny egg. So even if it wasn't the reason why I spewed up everywhere, all I associate with runny eggs is being...
I had the same. I know it's not quite as severe, but I had the same thing with popcorn. Where the first time I had popcorn, I had a massive headache. So I always assumed popcorn with having headaches. And then it took me like years to sort of knock that out.
Yeah.
So it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but I won't eat runny eggs. Anyway, I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed your chat about Return to Grace. One of the best endings to a game I've ever played. I almost gave up on it a couple of times, but Duke's initial passion kept me going. That and seeing the runtime, I just wondered if you'd seen another walking simulator called The Invincible. Again, another game. We're brilliant. I mean, I have this on my wish list, but it's never quite... it's meant to be pretty good. I've heard great things, so I've had it on my wish list for a while, but it's just never quite cheap enough for me to pull the trigger.
25% because I'm off right now.
I know, but it's never quite enough. They never go the full, if it were less than 15 quid, I'd probably pull the trigger because I've heard great things. But it's just never quite
cheap. Oh, God. This is an adaptation of a Stanislaw Lem book. Holy shit.
Yeah, it is.
I've never seen Duke.
I love Stanislaw Lem. He's one of my favorite writers. Oh, damn. That makes me want to play it now.
It's £18, shit.
I know. But then I could be putting that towards Helldivers too, couldn't I? There you see.
That makes me really want to play. I had no idea that this was...
I've heard great things.
I'll put it on my wish list.
I put it on my wish list a long time ago.
You cannot do better for story than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did put it on my wish list a long time ago.
All right, I'm going to go look at it now.
So people like it. Some people don't like it. It seems to be quite polarizing.
This is the thing with games now. Remember on this show, Lee, who's listening to all the old episodes, he'll know, we used to keep up with every fucking game. This came out in November 2023. I have no idea it existed.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy.
But yeah, I've had on my wish list for a while. Cheers, Lee. So that was the end of his email. So
Thanks, Lee. Keep writing in with some sort of little gems that you hear on the old episodes.
Yeah, we like that. We like when people remind us of the stupid shit we said 12 years ago.
I know.
What a thought. This is from Jason. What a thought, he says. What a thought. Did you know that Google has created SEMA?
What?
Not SOMA. It's called SEMA. It's an AI agent to adventure in video game lands like No Man's Sky to learn how to be in a world before they give it a body and send it to the backwoods to hunt down Duke. True story? What the... What is he going on about?
I have no idea what you're talking about there, dude.
So apparently, from what I can... The gist of this in normal talk is Google's created an AI agent that plays... that explores video game lands. So it explores the lands in video games to learn how a world would be before they give it a body in the real world. I don't know. Is that true?
Okay. I have no idea what that means.
It's probably stuck in heavy rain right now. Look, teacher, there has to be... have been immense developments with AI and robotics, and you have not said a word. So look, teacher, there has been immense developments in AI and robots, and you haven't said a word. So is that reference to you, Duke, I'm guessing?
I guess so. I don't know what he wants me to say.
You probably have the Figure and Optimus robots mating in your shed right now.
What?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Sorry, Jason, I can't follow
you. I have no idea. My name is Jason. So I'm guessing this may be from some AI that is used because it makes no sense. Or it could just be Jason, who usually makes no sense.
I don't think he needs AI to not make sense.
My name is Jason, and I've been playing Encryption, a card game. It has the skeleton of something I would like to create myself. Maybe soon AI will give us the tools to easily create our own games. John Blow would shit himself.
Yeah, he would.
Stu's homemade game would be terrible. Chitty's Bluey Theft Auto. And Juke's would be a dragon goat turd soccer simulator with swords and bicycles. I'm only guessing. See, it seems like some an AI would write all that shit, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Not no, many. It would make sense if I were
right. Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But credit to Stewpot. I've been playing Zero Escape Time Dilemma. Such a great game, by the way, that. The puzzles are stupid. Why you liked it, no doubt. But they've copied the Sam Barlow mechanics here, telling interesting stories. Oh, yeah, they do. So good. To help your understanding, back to the subject line in this email. A thought is merely a robot's excrement. Others may conclude it's her dream. Lay, lady, lay.
Lay, lady, lay.
To me, a thought is cake. You eat it too. No need to thank me. You guess for the email. I don't even know what to say anymore, really.
No, there's nothing to say. It's like, thank you, Jason.
It's like he has a load of random, non-connected thoughts and they just writes them down in an email and sends it to us.
Hey, that is an impressionistic school of writing.
There it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, we have got a speak pipe, and then it's time to get the hell out of here.
All right, here comes the speak pipe.
Speak pipe! It's the way to leave a message for crap. Us.
Saint Diesel is unusual. He is, and that's his name this week, so let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, Metal Gamers, it's Saint Diesel back again. This week I wanted to talk a little bit about strange or unusual phobias. It came to light this week at work because someone said that they'd seen a rat in their back garden and it freaked them out because they've got a phobia about rats. And we had a discussion and it turned to their standard phobias, rats and mice, wasps, snakes, slugs, creepy crawlies, Republicans, creepy crawly Republicans.
I see what he did.
But there was a couple of unusual phobias. One of them was giraffes. Got to such an extent where the person couldn't even look at a photo or stand to see a toy giraffe, something to do with the long necks, I believe. I'm not sure what's going on there. But the other unusual phobia was bananas. I'd read a few times in the media that crates of bananas, when they get shipped across to the UK, sometimes come with spiders in the crates, and I suppose that's possible, but it got to such an extent they couldn't even look at one single banana. Didn't want to have them in the house. So do you yourself have an unusual phobia or a strange phobia that no one else has? Or do you know someone else who got an unusual phobia or a strange phobia? Maybe you've got a phobia about small inanimate objects, but I'm not talking about Stu in this case. So that's it.
Wow. Love it. Oh. Wowzers.
Love it.
Wowzers.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
Wowzers. Drowsers.
He just sends us a speak pipe and then insults me. I don't even know what to think
my
about.
Favorite. Those are my favorite speak pipes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Somebody I work with has a phobia of, you know, those sort of, like, basically scale. Like, like a really large hole, or standing next to like a fuck off cruise ship, or do you know what I mean? Like things of like massive scale. It's a real thing.
Yeah, massive proportions. Yeah,
you're screwing your face there a little bit, but like it is a real thing of like
gargantuan. No, it wasn't actually at that. I was thinking of a woman I used to work with and her weird phobia. So that was, I was just thinking about that. So
I saw a video. I watched this YouTube channel and one of the guys has a phobia of like little holes. That apparently that's a phobia, like you know, lots of little holes, like that's a thing apparently.
There's lots of things. I mean, the internet has shown us that if there's a thing, someone's got the thing. I mean, I have, you know, I don't like spiders. I'm not, I don't know if I really call myself an arachnophobe, especially because there's a lot of daddy long legs that come in this house, and I had to kind of just accept that. So, you know, we have Tupperware containers we can put over them, put a piece of paper.
See, I don't, I'm not, outside. I'm personally, I don't think I have really any phobias about anything really that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But, I used to work with a woman who had a phobia of dishcloths.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the dishcloths, because she just saw them as harboring germs and stuff, and she couldn't bear to even touch. Well, kind of, sort but it was of, more yeah. it was more just dishcloths, though. She couldn't bear to touch a dishcloth. She like couldn't go near it.
She didn't want to do the dishes as
well. Well, maybe that's what it was, but had this weird phobia.
You're a wordsmith. Stu, you're a bit of a wordsmith as well.
Well,
let me read these phobias and see if you can guess what they are.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay. Nomophobia.
I know what that is.
I don't know what that is, but the obvious one would be gnomes, but I'm damn sure it isn't that.
It's short for no mobile phobia, meaning you're scared of not having your cell phone.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know if I'm saying this right. Arithmophobia?
I have no idea what that is.
Arithmophobia. I'm going to go, is that a fear of having a heart attack or something? Because it sounds
Arithmophobia.
Arithmophobia. Like maths?
Numbers. Very close.
Numbers, yeah, arithmetic. Numbers. Arithmetic. Yeah, there you go.
A blutophobia?
A fear of Bluetooth?
No.
Oh, wait. Ablutions. Yeah, I know that word, but I don't know it. I recognize it, but I don't know it. I give up.
A fear of bathing. Or bathing.
Bathing, okay, yeah, sure, right. Ablution, right, because your ablutions are like washing.
Octophobia.
Fear of the number 8.
Yeah.
It is the fear of the number
8. It's got to be, it's got to be. Yeah, it had to be.
I thought you might go octopuses, but it's that.
Yeah, fear of the number 8.
Oh, yeah, this is a real thing. Let me see if I can say this, right? This is genuine, by the way, this is a list of weird phobias. This is where we got this. This is true. So, hippopotomonstrosesquepedaliophobia.
Yep,
which
I
is...
Stu, do you know?
I have not a clue.
It's fittingly, it is a fear of long words.
A fear of long words?
That's funny.
Yeah, and then, do you know, I don't know if this is on that list, but, you know, ibophobia? A-I-B-O-H-P-H-O-B-I-A?
No.
It is a palindrome. It is a fear of palindromes.
That's funny.
I mean, that's probably not a real thing. There's nobody scared of palindromes, but still, it's funny.
Well, it might be. You'd be amazed what people are scared of. But one of the not funny stories I heard about phobias, there was a guy, this was in the newspaper, this was like a news story.
Yeah.
But there was a guy who had a fear of bridges, you know, crossing over bridges.
Oh, I love bridges.
Yeah, he had a fear. Anything that crossed over water, he had a fear of.
Yeah.
And he had a heart attack. Ambulance came to get him, right? And in the midst of his heart attack, all he could do was tell the ambulance driver not to drive over any bridges to get him to the hospital. And all he could fixate on was
life or death, dude. Never mind about that shit.
And all he was fixated on was his fear was so great that all he could fixate on was not driving over a bridge to get to the hospital.
I'm just trying to think, like, where's the worst place that he would live? Like, is it Venice?
London, Tokyo. The middle of London, because he'd never leave London, would he?
Venice would be bad.
Venice would be bad, wouldn't it? Venice would be tough.
Yeah, Venice would be hideous. Yeah.
Yeah. Hideous. Or he lived in Sacramento and he had to work in San Francisco and he had to cross the Golden Gate.
Yeah. Or even thinking like Manhattan Island.
Yeah.
That's only connected by bridges, isn't it?
Yeah. New York would be a really bad place.
Yeah.
You'd have to stay on the island.
Yeah. He'd never leave New York.
Or you'd have to go north and then around.
Well, right. I mean, Manhattan is the island.
He could get a boat, though, I guess. If he can do boats, he just can't cross bridges.
I think that's worse.
I don't know. Maybe he's all right with boats, just not bridges. Right, on that note.
Phobophobia.
Fear of phobias. Fear of phobias, yeah. Fear of fears.
That's not real, is it?
I know, right?
Of course it's real.
Right,
on that note, we need to do some shout-outs and get the hell...
Shout-out.
It's time for a shout-out. Hey!
Yeah, can we just say Susan's got a seriously scared of heights, which a lot of people are, aren't they? A lot of people
are
scared of heights.
I'm not too scared of it, but if I get up high, I'll look down and be like, oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
But that's logical, though, isn't it?
There's, because you're up, there's a difference between like actual normal fears and like the things that will paralyze. Like, I'm not going above a third floor in a building.
Yeah. Adam, Millie's boyfriend, is not a fear, but he has this weird urges, right? And he has this urge. If he goes anywhere high, he has this urge not to jump, right? But he has this feeling like, if I did jump off here, how far would I go before I hit the ground? So he's got this weird, like,
that's compulsion. I can urge see that.
Urge to jump, even like, though he wouldn't. He would never do it, but yeah.
Jumping Tourette's.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, go for it.
You know what my bloody fear is? Bloody hard work, eh? Bloody hard work.
Bloody
hard work.
All right, I'm going to shout out Amar because he's always sending me fun stuff, and I realized I thought I had sent him something that I had not, so I'm going to. Thanks for your patience, Amar. It's coming.
Oh, that made no sense.
I know, and it doesn't need to. It's special for Amar. Shout out to SLH for joining us every week, and Soul Brother Number One's here, and thanks to Jason Gallagher for sending in emails that make no sense, and shout out to, and also I played Pentiment finally. You're welcome. Shout out to St. Diesel for sending us speak pipes every week that do make sense. And everybody who listens, we love you. Thanks for listening.
There you go. Chinny, go.
We forgot the bloody Discord.
Oh, we forgot the bloody Discord.
Now it's going to have to wait till next week. Or do we want to quickly do that now?
No, we'll do it next week.
Should have spent so much time talking about.
We'll forget.
The only reason being, right, if we do it now, we'll just end up rushing it. Let's just do it properly next week is what I suggest.
But there's one that says, why Stu so lame?
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
well, we'll talk about it more in depth next week.
Well, share it to the people in the Discord because
Discord people.
We've got to, and Duke, you're in the Discord more these days.
Yeah, Duke, join the Discord for real.
It's all popping off. Join our Discord. So I'll share it to the people that have left the question that I haven't read. But I did remember.
We'll sort it.
My Tidy Brain, Tim Kelly, GH Rocker. So yeah, we'll read.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of questions, so we can spend a bit of time on that next week.
Post some more.
Yeah, post some more, then we have a big, massive Discord section next week.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm going to shout out Chinny because.
Hello.
You know, he's Chinny. I don't even know what else. He sold a game this week. Yeah, Chinny, because he actually played more than one game.
Well,
yeah.
And he got
just text
to buy
me
more than one game this week.
The developers just text me saying,
buying that shit. Yeah.
Thanks for the sale.
That is a reason to shout out Chinny, in my opinion.
I am a real influencer.
He played three games this week.
Speaking of games, we'll be playing for Play My Game, Bitch, next week.
That's good.
Helldivers 2.
No.
Yeah, I was going to suggest No More Heroes.
Okay, well, that looks like the only option. It looks like fucking SpongeBob SquarePants. So,
because I know Duke's going to love it.
Yeah, I'll bet I'll love it.
All
right, anything else we want to shout out or say or do? We done?
No, I think that's it. I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, show's over. No refunds. You heard the robot. Get out.
There you go, and another week is done.
This is not good radio!
Mm-hmm. Right, guys, I will leave you to it. Have an excellent week.
Yeah.
I was just going to say it's our clocks don't go forward next week. It's the week after, dude.
I have another. And next week is the start of my spring break, so it'll be fun to do some partying before we start recording, and then I'll do more partying when we start recording.
Party.
Well, that's not this Sunday. It's a week on Sunday. So
I know. I'm saying, though, I get an extra hour is what I'm saying before the show starts.
Yeah.
But until you push your clocks back, then, or you spring ahead, then yeah, I'll forward. Have, it'll be the normal time. So, yeah.
I hate the clocks moving. They should just stick at one.
Yeah, I agree. Most people, I think, would agree with that. It's time that the world come together and just put it into
just
it.
Like one time. There's no need to keep going backwards and forwards all the time. It's stupid.
Yep. Stupid. It's an anachronism. It made sense at one point, but it doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't. Rightio.
Have a good week.
To it.
See ya.
Same.
As well. So I'll leave you to it, Chinny. You can be by yourself here.
See you later, Chinny. Okay, bye.
We love you.
Bye.
Okay, that's enough. No more talking.